Welcome to the Dietitian's Dish podcast. We are Gina and Nicole, two dietitian mamas and good friends living in Ohio and Michigan.
This is a podcast dedicated to making whole family wellness more fun and less stressful. Whether you're listening in the car or slumped on the couch with a glass of wine, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Dietitian's Dish podcast. I'm Gina.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're dishing about healthier meals in a hurry. But before we go into that, because this is I'm excited about this topic very much. But before we go into that, just a brief catch up. I know we talked just a few days ago, but what's been new, Nicole?
Okay, I have an embarrassing blonde story I can tell you.
I can't wait.
So we've been going through the process of getting a passport for everyone, which for myself is a renewal. And actually for Shay is a renewal as well. Hers expired. It expires in 2019. We got it when she was a baby. Yeah. So 2014 kids passports. I think if you're under the age of 16, you have to renew every 5 years versus every 10. And then we decided, okay, while we're going through all this, let's get Piper a passport too. And so I thought that I could renew Shay's by mail. And so anyway, long story short, we had to have multiple appointments at the passport place which was at the post office. And so they've kind of been rolling in sporadically. And today I open up the mail and it's my old passport that was sent to me. I was like, are you kidding me? They sent me my old, like, what am I going to do with this? I need my new passport. And we're going to Maui, which I don't think I need a passport for, but they told me I should check with the airline. I mean, better safe than sorry. So yes. Then I call passport people and 1-800, blah, 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 all these little, you know, if this, press one, if this, press seven, you know, that. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, ma'am, it says it was delivered to you on the 14th. And I go, oh my gosh. And I run upstairs. Yep. It was delivered. I don't know. I just, when they sent me my old passport, I just went into this complete freak out mode of I'm actually like leaving the continental US here in a couple of weeks. And
so you mean they'd sent you the new one and the old one?
Okay, well, they sent me the new one a couple weeks ago and I put it away and I just kind of blanked that it had arrived. Like, I just forgot that it arrived.
Yes.
And so when they sent me the new one and I told Mark, I said she thought I was on like drugs. Like, here I am calling and she's like, ma'am, it was delivered. And I'm like, oh, you're right. It is in my house.
Oh my gosh, Nicole, we have all been there. I'm sure I've done something like that. But I still don't understand why they would deliver the old one. Or was
exactly,
it not?
Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
And so I'm texting Mark because he's on his way to Brazil and he was in the shuttle on his way to O'Hare with his coworkers. And I was like, he's like, is there a punch in it? Because then it's obsolete or whatever. And I was like, no, there's no punch. It's like they sent me my old passport.
But you had the new one the whole time. That's awesome.
I'm a total blonde. So,
oh my gosh, Nicole, we've all been there.
Okay. I'm a terrible storyteller. I realize this about myself, but in the moment I was just thinking this person over the phone has to just be rolling her eyes so hard at me. Like,
that's when I would just like hang up. Oh, sorry, see ya.
Bad
like
connection.
Me, if I was you. Yeah, exactly. Oops. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you have your passport and you don't have to figure out you don't have to sit around waiting for another one. That would stink.
I might be waiting a while.
Seriously, it will never come.
Oh, I'm like slab happy. So what's new with you, Gina, since I guess Saturday when we talked?
Yeah, it was Saturday morning when I went downstairs after we podcasted and the kids were just crazy. Because it's winter. You know what it is. I mean, we've been stuck inside. It was so windy this weekend. I mean, we barely made it out to fly a kite. And even when we went outside to fly our kite, I realized that it was actually too windy to fly the kite. I read the instructions and it said, do not fly in over 20 miles per hour winds. And it was like 25 to 55 mile per hour winds, almost hurricane. I think we were like 5 miles per hour winds away from actually being called a hurricane.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really windy. So we were pretty much stuck inside all day, the whole weekend. So it was crazy. And then I started thinking, and this is so random, I just remembered something. When I was a kid, I had a Cabbage Patch doll and her name was Nicole. Have I ever told you that? Yeah. I don't know. I think, okay, so Nicole and Jessica were my favorite names when I was growing up. And I don't even know who I knew with the name Nicole, or if I knew anyone. And I'm not even sure where I heard it. I'm like trying to think back, my friends or my parents' friends or my friends, I knew no one. But for some reason, I loved that name. I heard it somewhere. And that was the name of my Cabbage Patch doll. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, thanks, Gina.
Yeah, no problem. And then I married a Nick. So there's just something about the Nick names that I just really love.
That's what my family calls me, is just Nick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then some people meet me and they're like, oh, it's a female.
Oh my gosh, that's my life. When I get emails from students and I know I'm going to meet with them, they're going to come to my office and I don't know if they're male or female because of their name. And I just have to kind of wing it like, oh, are you so-and-so? I mean, it happens all the time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Cameron could be a girl or a boy. I mean, it's very common.
Which I love. I mean, I'm obsessed with androgynous, right? That's what it's called?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because Shay is as well. Actually, Shay in Ireland is almost exclusively a male name.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at this point, any name can be a male or female. I mean, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I have heard, I can't even think of a good example right now, but Tracy. I just know that yeah, exactly. People will do I don't want to say the craziest things, but I mean, any name that I've grown up that has mainly been for females, I wouldn't be surprised if I met a male or a boy with that name. I feel like it happens often, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
But it does make for, confusion for teachers and such. but this weekend, one little story this weekend, I'm trying to figure out how and when Paige will get over her fear of water in her face. We had our last private swim lesson on Sunday, and she still just is terrified of getting her face wet. She loves playing in the water, loves swimming, playing around in the water. She goes to the deep end, but she'll want to wear her swimmies, but she does not like getting her face in the water. So we literally had her in 6 private swim lessons and got nowhere. We literally made no improvements. So.
Aww.
Yeah. So I'm thinking rather than putting her in swim lessons again, I'm just going to give it time. I talked to a few parents and they whose sons or daughters were the same way. And they just said, give it time. She'll see her friends playing in the water and she'll eventually kind of get over her fear. And I think I'm going to trust in that and stop kind of pushing it on her so much and just let her kind of have fun and not obsess over it. So,
yeah, she's still so young. You just want her to have fun with it.
Exactly.
And I think that's super common. When Shay had a little boy in one of her group swim lessons and the parent would be right there with a towel like the whole time, like, okay, go do what the teacher's asking and I'll have your towel ready for you on the sidelines, you know?
That is funny because she always asks for a towel. Where's my towel? Where's my towel? She'll have her eyes like scrunched so tightly closed. Aww. And ask for her towel, even in the shower. I mean, I'll have her go under the faucet to rinse out the soap in her hair. And she'll just, have her eyes closed so tight, just with her arms out looking for a towel.
Dumb question. Have you tried goggles?
It's not a dumb question. We have tried goggles. She does not like the way the goggles feel. I think she's just, like I've said before, very sensitive in all aspects. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't like anything on her face. She especially doesn't like goggles that are tightly squeezed onto her face. We've tried loosening them, but when you loosen them, they're pointless.
Yeah.
The water gets in her eyes. So yeah, I don't know. We're just gonna have to give it time. You're right. She's only 4. I'm gonna give it a couple more years, see what happens, and then probably put her in swim. Maybe I'll just do swim lessons again next year and see if there's any progress after being at the pool all summer and going to the beach. Maybe things will change, but I'm not gonna, be disappointed if it doesn't change. I have to go into it assuming it won't and then being excited if it does, I guess.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with the topic for the day. So again, healthier meals in a hurry. And I made sure to not say healthy meals in a hurry because I don't want to be judged on some of the things that we're going to talk about because there is an actual definition for the word healthy. And I know some of the things that I'm going to talk about aren't necessarily the healthiest, but they're healthier compared to possibly things like eating out at restaurants or fast food or even necessarily buying a frozen meal, although sometimes I do use frozen meals for dinner. So just a little introduction. So whether you're working full-time inside or outside of the home with or without kids, and this includes being a stay-at-home parent, I think making time to prepare a healthier meal for yourself and your family can be extremely daunting. So I first want to discuss, Nicole, our schedules as far as in the morning for breakfast and kind of like what time we wake up, what time our kids wake up, and kind of how rushed we are to make breakfast, or if we are at all. I know I am. And then kind of our schedule at night as well, just so our listeners have an idea of, you know, just kind of what our day time schedule is around food. So I'll go ahead and go first. So I wake up generally around 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 6 o'clock. And then the kids usually wake up around 6:30. So I have between six, depending on how many times I press snooze, between six and 6:30 to get dressed, get ready, and get breakfast made for them. So with that in mind, this is during the week. I'm going to make that point too. On the weekends, it's a little bit different. So during the week, so the majority of the week, those 5 days, Monday through Friday, that's how much time I have. So obviously, I always make something very, very quick for their breakfast. Then at night, I generally get home from work around 5.
And you guys leave the house at what time, you said?
Okay, so we leave the house. Oh, good question. We leave the house around 7, 7:05.
Yeah, that's so early.
It is very early. Yeah. I need to get Paige to school by about 7:10, 7:15, and then drop off Cameron at 7:30 and then be at work, you know, just before 8 o'clock, between 7:30 and 8. So yeah, it's a very rushed morning, needless to say. So then at night, it's also pretty rushed. And I think I talked about this when we were talking about our goals for the year 2019. How rushed our evenings are. So I generally don't leave work until 5, maybe a little bit before 5. And then I generally don't get home until about 5:15. Nick tends to be home earlier because he tends to work from home a lot at the end of the day, generally from like 3 to 5. He works from home. So he usually gets the kids, which is nice. Sometimes I pick up Cameron. But regardless, we're still typically eating dinner between about 5 to 5:45. So I have between the time I get home around 5:15 to about 5:45 to prepare them a meal, get them, you know, relaxed and calmed down, washed up a little bit. I mean, when I say that, I typically take like a wet paper towel and just wash their hands and their face, or, you know, like a Lysol towel sometimes, and wipe their hands and face. So, and then I feed them dinner around 5:45. So that is our hectic week food schedule. What about yours?
This is a little harder for me to answer because we do have a very part-time nanny who is a student, a master's student. And so her schedule every semester kind of changes. And so we love her. So we try and be super flexible with her. So, okay. It's a little complicated right now. So to kind of get her the hours that she wants, and, you know, we appreciate the help, she usually takes the kids 2 mornings a week to school. So I would say on those days, it's a little bit less crazy because I don't have to worry about dropping them off. And I'll just say near exclusively do drop off and pick up, with the exception of our nanny. And so two to three mornings a week, I'll take them, and about 2 mornings a week, she'll take them. And so I typically get up, I'll work out if it's a good week, usually twice in the mornings. And so I'll get up usually around 5:30, get my workout in. And my goal for myself is to have myself ready to go, with the exception of clothes, because with a dog and children, I would just have goobers all over me before I walked out the door. So yeah. I just wait to brush my teeth and throw on clothes like last minute, as the kids are usually entertained by the TV. But I try and have breakfast on the table by 7:30. It doesn't always happen. It's sometimes as like 7:40, but our goal is to be out the door at 8. And I would say that's just a normal day. There are days I have 7 a.m. meetings and that doesn't happen. And maybe Mark's kind of in charge. It just really depends. But I would say, generally speaking, that's our schedule. So 7:30 in the morning. And that gives us about a half hour from that point to rock and roll and get out the door. And then in the evenings, I think I mentioned a couple podcasts ago that I have recently moved dinner time back. It was recently about 5:30, maybe 5:45. And I've bumped that really back to sometime between like 6 and 6:30. And I would say closer to 6. And that seems to be working a little bit better for us. So I'm typically walking in the door at 5, whether I have the kids or not. Okay. So if I have to pick them up, I try and leave a little bit earlier just so we can keep on a consistent schedule.
Can't remind me, why did you bump dinner back? Was it because they weren't eating or did you just need more time to prepare it?
Mostly the eating, but I think it allows us both a little bit of extra time. If I don't work out in the mornings, I tend to try and work out in the evenings. It doesn't always happen, but I've just found as much as I hate working out when the kids are awake, I won't do it after they're in bed because by 8 p.m., like I'm ready to wind down for the night. I'm not ready to go pound it out on the treadmill. So
I am the same way. I cannot ever work out at night. It's either the morning or during the day, or I just don't work out at all. So I was going to ask you something, but I can't remember what it was. So I guess continue. I'll have to come back to that.
No, I think that's about it. I'll just say we love our nanny and so we're willing to work with this. But I was just thinking this morning, because I think last week she took them the last 3 days of the week, and it totally threw me off this morning. It was like, I thought I was doing fine on time. And then it was like, oh, S-H-I-T, like I am out of time. Like we should have been out the door 5 minutes ago and they're just sitting down for breakfast. So it was like, you know, that just never lends to like good moments with your kids. And
I know, I hate rushing them to eat. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Especially in the morning. I mean, that's when I typically have to rush them. Okay, take one more bite of your waffle, finish your milk, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and it's usually when they want to eat. It's not like I'm forcing them to eat. I mean, breakfast is typically the time when they're the most hungry, I would argue. So I feel bad making them eat fast.
I think that is generally what the time of day that kids do eat best. And I've read that kids do best at breakfast, a little bit less so at lunch, and then dinner time's gone wah, wah.
Exactly.
I think that's pretty common. So yeah, I'm the same way. I feel as though breakfast should not be rushed. And if at all possible, I try and sit with them for a moment, but it generally doesn't happen. Although they are seated at the table together, there's no screens on. So I feel good about that at least.
Yeah. We went through about probably a 6 month period right when Cameron, I think, was born. He was younger, and Paige was, I mean, we basically had to give her the iPad to watch. I don't know. What was that show? Gosh, with the cat and the, oh my gosh, not Power Rangers. They're blue, green, and red.
Oh, PJ Masks.
Thank you, PJ Mask. Basically, she would watch that every single morning while eating breakfast, and we finally nipped that in the bud. Thank goodness. So yeah, right now, there's no screen time at all, so they can just focus on eating.
Yeah.
And generally talking very loud. Because they're just so energetic in the morning. Gosh. So, okay, let's talk about what we eat. Okay, so we know neither of us have a whole lot of time during the week for breakfast and for dinner. So let's give our listeners some ideas of what we actually do that is at least somewhat easy or less time consuming and on the healthier side for our kids. So I'll just say this straight up. Paige has been on waffles, frozen waffles, since she was about, I'm not even kidding, 2 years old. I keep thinking it's going to end, that one day she'll say, I don't want a waffle, but it hasn't happened yet.
And does she eat them dry with stuff on them?
Okay. So she does not eat them dry. I usually toast them and then I give her a little cup of syrup. And when I say a cup of syrup, I put half syrup and then half water and mix it up. I don't know if she knows that. I think she does though. I think I one time told her that that's what you had to do with syrup, like it needed water. I don't know, but she's fine with it. So I buy the light syrup because she uses a lot of syrup. I probably give her like 2 or 3 tablespoons. I buy the light because that could easily be a day's worth of sugar right there. And then I use the Nutri-Grain whole grain waffles. And I usually give her about 2 in the morning, put a little bit of butter on there, unsalted butter. And I usually serve like a fruit with her breakfast. I offer it to her. She rarely eats it. It's the one time she doesn't eat fruit. I don't know why, but she just wants the waffle. But sometimes she'll eat it, so I just always offer it to her. Something like green raisins or fresh blueberries or a clementine. I also give her, here's some more sugar. I give her probably about a half a cup of whole milk and then a little dollop of the natural or less ingredient, I should say. It's like 3 ingredients. Hershey's chocolate syrup. I find that it's better than the light one. I was buying her the light one, the less sugar one for a while. It's not good. It's disgusting, actually. And so I just bought the, I think it's called like less ingredients. It's the natural one, but I buy it because it's got less ingredients. It's literally just like sugar and chocolate, which I love. And she loves it too. So that is what they've been stuck on for a while. And I will say we also make pancakes during the weekend with whole grain flour, half whole grain, half white flour with some chocolate chips in them. And they also eat pancakes, and we'll make a huge batch. And that's one of my tips I would say is if you're going to make something, triple the recipe and then freeze it. So whenever we make pancakes in the morning, which is generally, I would say twice a month, we make pancakes. And by we, I mean Nick. He loves to do it. So he makes probably 20 pancakes on a Saturday morning, and then he'll freeze, you know, 15 of them. So we use those throughout the week too. So we're not going through waffles because they can get expensive. Jeez.
Yeah, they are.
So what do your kids eat for breakfast? I always see your kids eating different things for breakfast.
Yeah, I would say in general, that's like Mark's biggest beef with me is just that we never eat the same thing. As you were saying that about the
pancakes. For breakfast or in general?
Oh, just in general. But okay. Yeah, we're a little less creative with breakfast, but we do okay. I found that making French toast actually freezes really well. You can just freeze it in a single layer and pop it out and like 45 seconds in the microwave, maybe a minute, and it can go from frozen to ready. A little bit of, you know, mm-hmm. pure maple syrup and off we go.
I love that. I love French toast so much. In fact, mm-hmm. I had that on my list of things to make. I'm looking for a good like French toast casserole recipe. And I also just want to try giving my kids French toast. I've given it to them in the past and they've eaten it, and I always forget about it. It's just so easy. I feel like it's easy, and you're right. It's easy to freeze. So I
and
like that idea a lot.
In my brain, I'm like, okay, there is egg in there. Like they're getting a little bit more protein than just pancakes. This is very false. I know.
No, I know. I think I had the same thought. You add the egg, you add the milk, mm-hmm. and you can use whole grain bread if you want. I mean, I typically use the light whole grain bread. And my kids like it. I mean, I do. I think the same thing. It's got a little bit more protein than the waffles and the pancakes. So.
Just something. Yeah. We do a lot of baked oatmeal, and we're going to put a ton of recipes in our show notes. So be mm-hmm. sure to check those out. You will be glad that you did. So tons of baked oatmeals, slow cooker, steel cut oats. My kids also love, this isn't really a recipe. It's just what we always do is just old fashioned oats made with unsweetened almond milk. And then I'll add a little bit of brown sugar, unsweetened cocoa, and then some type of a dried fruit. And they inhale that.
Now, do they eat that hot or cold?
Hot. I mean, warm. Okay. And they want to eat anything hot, right?
that was a dumb question.
Oh, the drama. But Piper will eat, I'm just guessing, if dry, uncooked oatmeal, she probably eats a cup worth.
Oh, wow.
That girl loves oatmeal. Okay. Another thing
so
that
jealous.
They love.
I try oatmeal.
You don't like it?
No, I love it. My kids, I actually put a note, a sticky note up on my wall in the kitchen before we did this podcast about 3 weeks ago to try new breakfast foods. And one of them was oatmeal, and neither of my kids really dig it. But I did add it to a smoothie once and Cameron guzzled it, which was nice. But continue what you were going to say before I go on with that.
Oh, well, I was going to say my other way to get oats in them in the morning is breakfast cookies. That is probably one of my biggest mom hacks is offer your kid a cookie for breakfast and they are going to be down.
That's a great idea.
So I have probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 even different breakfast cookie recipes linked in our show notes, but I will make quite literally several dozen of them. Like if I have an hour or two to kill on the weekend, and even if I want to involve Shay, like while Piper's napping, we will just make mega batch of breakfast cookies and then I just freeze them.
So do you use whole oats or do you grind them into a flour?
The probably my favorite recipe that I make most often is the giant whole wheat apple oat breakfast cookies. And okay. I'll just say they're nearly famous. The hospital, the health system I worked in the kitchen at, we made them and sold them for like some crazy amount of money, and people just couldn't get enough. They would buy them.
Really?
Yes, they loved them. They're really moist and just have really good texture to them, and they're very filling because they've got a ton of Well, they're just really balanced. So they do have oats in there, whole wheat flour or whole wheat pastry flour, eggs, mm-hmm. of course, unsweetened applesauce, some oil, nuts, of course. You've got apple in there. So it's just a really nice blend of carb, protein, fat.
Okay. And then if your kid has a nut allergy, then the nuts would not be a requirement, correct?
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I'm going to have to look on that recipe on the show notes for
cookies
sure. Because that sounds,
for breakfast.
Yes. Yes. My kids will be down. So speaking of, we do also buy, I used to think that the Belvita crackers were just kind of lame. They were made by a dietitian. I know that a dietitian came up with these. Have you ever heard of Belvita?
Yes, and I like them. Okay. I did not know the dietitian piece. That's very interesting.
Yes, I knew this because I used to work at a grocery store, and I had to do like a demo with them. I had to give them out during, I don't know, I had to pull my cart out into the cereal aisle one day and give them out. And I just remember kind of reading the story behind them, and a dietitian came up with them. And I was also kind of a little bit jealous, but I just didn't think that they were that great. I was like, what is this? It's just carbs. There wasn't that much protein in them. But now that I have kids, they really like the Belvita, and they don't have to eat all four. I mean, it comes with four in a package. They can eat one and be happy. I'll smear a little bit of peanut butter on them. They're really tasty. They have a lot of different flavors, and they also now come in little bites, like a little bag that you can easily, they're very portable, and they're just like little Belvita cracker bites, and they're delicious, and Nick likes them as well.
I like the blueberry ones. So good.
The blueberry ones are so good. I agree with that. In fact, I have one right here. Nick has one by his bed right now. I'm in the bedroom, and there's one sitting next to his bed, or our bed, I guess, his side. Another one that I really like, and this is more for snacking, but these can easily be used for breakfast as well, are any bars that are just fruit. So the Kind bars with chia, they have a just fruit and chia bar. And then also, I can't think of the name. That's It bars. That's what it is. They're called That's It. And it's just fruit, and my kids really like those as well. Again, more for a snack, but could easily be used for a breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, pair it with a glass of milk. There's your protein. Done. Something else my kids really like, and this might be a shocker. I posted this on our podcast story, was Frosted Mini Wheats. And I feel like everyone thinks that Frosted Mini Wheats, because they're frosted, aren't healthy. But first of all, there is zero sodium in Frosted Mini Wheats, which I didn't even know until I looked at the box the other day. And also, very minimal amounts of sugar. I mean, they're pretty big. And of course, they're coated on the top layer with sugar, but the whole thing isn't coated with sugar. So compared to other cereals, Frosted Mini Wheats are actually very low in sugar. I think, if I remember correctly, it was about 12 grams in a whole cup. I typically look for 12 grams or less added sugar in a cereal or a bar. So that meets that criteria for me. And so I give that to my kids, and they love it. I feel mm-hmm. like I can't believe they eat it without milk, but they do, because it's kind of, they're very dry, but they like them. That and Cheerios, two of my favorite cereals to give to my kids.
Yeah.
Do your kids ever eat cereal?
Yeah, we've actually been on to lately, I'll take Kashi. It's just kind of the flavor of the week, but some type of a cereal that offers some fiber for sure, that is a little bit, I don't know, just easier to pick up. And then mm-hmm. I actually made it for work, but I just lined up a ton of mason jars, like the wide, is it called a wide mouth? And they're quart, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quart. And I just like layered cereal and then nuts and then seeds, dried fruit. And the dried fruit may be raisins or dried cherries or banana chips or whatever you've got on hand. We have dried blueberries. Just layer all those things. And I even put a few white chocolate chips in one of them, and then just continue those layers. And a little bit heavier on the cereal, I would say, especially for my kids. But that was an awesome thing. I took it to my staff meeting for breakfast. And everybody loved it, because it was something other than just carbs. Like, some people bring bagels or donuts, or it was just a nice way. And we, like, if we go to Sam's Club or Trader Joe's, like, we'll just stock up on nuts. Even Aldi is a great place. You can put cashews in there. Mm-hmm. My kids love all nuts. So that's a really nice, you know, what are those little things called that you can put like cereal or Cheerios in, and it has like the little, I don't like the, like the one-way valve, if you will, that their little hand can go in, and it's supposed to not have their stuff spill all over your car. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. The little cups with the lid, and that
like
you
the
can
little snack cups,
put your hand in. Yes. Oh, yes. Cameron carries that thing around all day with Cheerios or mini wheats. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like my mom things. Badge is like just taken away, but one of those things, like I'll put that, I'll give them that with the, I'll give them the trail mix in the thingy that doesn't have a name, and we'll call that good with a glass of milk. Like that's, I feel like that's balanced. I mean, you've got,
no, I agree.
You've got everything there. So.
And it doesn't have to be whole milk. I mean, it can be any kind of milk. As long as there's protein, I think that's the key here. We keep mentioning milk. And, you know, because most of the things that we're naming here are carbs, generally whole grain carbs. But it's good to have also some protein in the morning, not just for adults, but also for kids to kind of keep them full and to help them grow. I mean, protein's important. So
absolutely.
Another one.
Oh, yeah, we got two favorites. No, go ahead.
Okay. So let's briefly talk about us, what we eat for breakfast. Do you want to do that?
Yeah. And I do eat this, but my kids love it too. So I'll buy a whole wheat tortilla, like a burrito size one, slather it in some type of a nut butter, usually peanut butter, and then throw a banana in there, roll it up, and then cut it into like little pieces. And I call it banana sushi. And my kids love it. Love it.
I've seen that on your Instagram. It looks so good and cute.
So quick and easy. And we'll also do like toaster waffles with peanut butter, or I eat a lot of overnight oats. So I'll do like old fashioned oats with almond milk, a little bit of unsweetened cocoa, unsweetened coconut, ground flax, chia, hemp, and a little bit of sugar or syrup. And then I'll just mix it up in the morning. And work smarter, not harder, right? I'll make three or four of those at a time and just grab them as the week goes on. I do a lot of, for myself, and the kids love it too, like the al fresco chicken sausage links. I absolutely love those. They're pretty high in sodium, so that's one thing to be mindful of. But Aldi has their variety of it. It's, I don't even remember the brand of it, but it's found at Aldi, the country style, and they're so good. It's a great way to get protein in. And if I have time in the morning, which isn't always, I love to do something with eggs. So my kids aren't so keen on eggs, where I would eat avocado and eggs and toast like every morning if I could. My favorite being like a piece of toast with an over easy egg and then some sliced avocado. I'm in heaven.
Agreed. Oh my gosh. My favorite breakfast of all time would be that. Yes. And thankfully, my kids do eat eggs. And that is something that, again, if I had time, I would make them eggs every morning because of the protein. And yeah, they devour eggs. And they also really like avocado toast. So that's another good one. And I do too. I just don't have time to make it. But on the weekends, we do that actually quite often. What about, I also like to do, and I put this recipe on the show notes, just an egg, oat, banana pancake. I'll mash up some bananas, a couple egg whites, and some oatmeal, whole oats. And put it on a skillet that's been sprayed and heated and just cook it like a pancake, top it with some Greek yogurt, maybe a little bit of syrup. Oh, it's one of my favorite breakfasts, again, when I have time to make it, which is typically on the weekends.
Are you posting that recipe? That sounds delicious.
I think I put it in the show notes. If I didn't, I will make sure to write it out. Yes, it is so good. And then what I do every single day for breakfast, I typically don't eat breakfast until I get to work because it's just kind of like a debrief when I get to work. I get there, I unpack, I turn on my computer, I look at my email, and I eat my yogurt. And it's Greek yogurt. It's the Hint Chobani, which I saw was going to be your new favorite product. I've been hooked on those for quite a long time. The raspberry, strawberry, they're all the flavors are so good. So I have a cup of that with usually a spoonful of almond butter. And then a half of a Kind bar. And I know that sounds really weird. Who eats half a Kind bar? But I do that for two reasons. One is because I just don't need all that. I'm just not that hungry for breakfast, honestly. I don't need the whole thing. And two, and most importantly, it's because of the chicory root in Kind bars. If I ate the whole thing, it would just, my whole office would probably hate me. We'll just say that. That's coming up on the low FODMAP episode in a few weeks. So look forward to that one. What about you? What do you do?
Love some good gas talk.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. That one's going to be full of gas and poop. Just be warned.
I love it.
Hey, we're all moms. We get it.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, breakfast is a total wild card for me as well. Like, I may eat at home. I may take it to work, especially if it's something like overnight oats. It's very common. At work, like I said, my days are never really consistent. I may start you know, as early as 7, as late as 8:30. And yeah, so it's kind of all over the place. But I think one of my other things that people always ask for a recipe for is smoothies. And we do do quite, sure. quite a few smoothies. And my kind of basic recipe is a fresh banana peeled, obviously. And then I always keep on hand kefir, and I do buy the flavored variety usually, just because I think it offers a lot of flavor to the smoothie. So I'll do maybe a cup and a half of kefir. And then I'll add usually about 2 to 3 cups of frozen fruit, probably closer to 3. And then just top it off with like unsweetened almond milk to like just about wherever the fruit ends, basically. And then you just puree it up. Often I'll add, as far as fruit, we live in Fruit Haven. So we pick everything in the summertime and then just freeze it. So frozen fruit can be crazy expensive. So if you live in an area where you can pick fruit or buy it in bulk, wash, freeze, dice it, whatever you need to do, and then have the freezer space for it, that's the best way to go. Strawberries, berries, peaches, mango, pineapple, you know, even if pineapples were $1 at Aldi the other week, I was like, okay, I'll take 6 of those. And then when they're ripe, I'll just dice them all up. And when whatever we don't eat fresh, I'll just go ahead and freeze. In that instance, I probably went ahead and froze like 2 or 3 or 4 of them. But I think that's a really good way to.
Did you really buy 6?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Where would you even put those? I'm trying to think where I would even put those in my kitchen. And I have a pretty big kitchen. But that's smart. I mean, brilliant. Paige loves pineapple.
I make room for $1 pineapples in my house. It doesn't matter.
You'll find the space. Put them in the garage.
They're welcome in my house.
I agree. If I saw that at Aldi, I'd be all about it as well. Okay. I always thought kefir was pronounced kefir. We're going to have to look into that. So for those of you who are on my side and think it's kefir, that's what she's trying to say.
Okay. I just have to say, do you ever watch Teen Mom?
No.
Oh my gosh. Judge away. So there's this, Barbara is Janelle's mom, and she had this ex-boyfriend named Kiefer, and she would always go, Kiefer, this is a terrible voice. I'm going to wake up the kids, and I'm dying over here.
So for those of you who also watch Teen Mom, you can be laughing along with Nicole.
Mark always, because... Okay, Mark.
Mark watches it too?
Oh boy. So he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Okay, back on topic. I'm going to die over here.
Okay, so maybe it's not kefir. Okay, maybe I'm just going to keep calling it kefir then, because if I call it kefir from now on, I'm always going to remember that voice in that show. So I'll just call it kefir from now
maybe
on.
Maybe that's why I call it kefir, because kefir, oh my God, can't keep that cool.
Kefir sounds much cooler because also, well, never mind. Okay. So anyway, moving along. So I also like to add oats to my smoothies, just an FYI, to add some fiber. And we're also going to do a podcast about juicing and smoothies coming up too. So we'll give way more information on that in future episode. So let's move on to dinner. Dinner, I think, is where I have the most anxiety. And that's probably because my kids just don't eat that much at night. Like you said, kids tend to eat more for breakfast and lunch. And really, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to have your smaller meal at dinner and your biggest meal in the morning and possibly even in the middle of the day. So kids do it right. But, you know, our schedule isn't necessarily like that. I like to be able to see them eat. I don't necessarily always see them come back with all their food eaten out of their lunch. So I like to watch them consume calories. So when they don't necessarily eat everything I make them for dinner, or at least even half of it sometimes, it does give me a little bit of anxiety. So I try to put food on the table that they will enjoy. And that is not always the easiest thing. That being said, I've gotten over my anxiety about that a little bit. I have learned to just take what I can get, and that they are the best intuitive eaters at this age, and not to push it. So what do I typically make? So again, I get home around 5:15 and feed them around 5:45, actually sometimes even 5:30, because typically they're pretty hungry when they get home. And it's, you know, they're in the kitchen. I've already got them kind of sequestered. It's a perfect time to just break out some food. I will say most days I am serving leftovers. So my typical schedule is that I cook on the weekends and then serve leftovers throughout the week. If I'm not serving leftovers, I am typically making something super easy. Some of the things that I make would be maybe tacos from ground beef that we might have in the refrigerator that I maybe use to make something else. I'll make eggs and avocado toast for dinner quite often. I make, let's see, I'm looking at my list here, nachos, which I know you kind of poo-pooed on one of our first episodes.
No, but I just said it was not comparable to, it's not the same thing as a taco, and you can't rationalize with a four-year-old as to why they're not the same, even though Mark tries. That's all.
But, and like I said in the previous episode, we will typically put down the Flax Trader Joe's chips, nacho chips. Top it with shredded cheese, ground turkey, and then sliced avocados and black beans. So in my opinion, it is actually very much like a taco. It's just a different way to eat a taco. Now,
if yeah, your nachos are way healthier than what Mark puts together.
Way different than Mark. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you can make a healthier nacho for sure. We also do a lot of beans. So sometimes I'll just serve up some scrambled eggs and black beans, or I'll put that into a burrito with a little bit of cheese.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they do like the burritos. Sometimes I'll even just give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner, which with a side of steamed broccoli or roasted Brussels sprouts, or even a side of frozen fruit. They just love frozen fruit. So those are some of my favorite easy meals that I make during the week. So again, typically leftovers, or I'll just take something that's left over and make it into something new. But generally, my poor family eats a lot of the same things throughout the week. So I would love to hear what you're doing, Nicole.
Yeah, I'm almost the exact opposite of you, which I think is funny. I like take the weekends off. I'm like, oh, you made it. Like you're off duty, princess. And then I've kept things a lot more simple during the week. So if I'm not making something for the blog, so that's kind of what it boils down to. Is it for the blog or is it not? If it's for the blog, it's usually like an actual recipe. And I will say, you know, my one plot delights are kind of my favorite. And my kids do a pretty good job of eating whatever it is that I put in front of them. Even if they don't really like it, I think they won't like it, I'll make something that accompanies it that I think that they will like. Even if it's a dinner roll or fruit or diced avocado, something that I know that they're going to eat. So I try and be reasonable in that way. But some quick and easy things, like Mark's in Brazil this week. So dinners are going to be quick and easy. I have on the menu baked sweet potatoes, which I may end up microwaving just because that's easier. And then I bought rotisserie chicken over the weekend and plucked that apart, got rid of the skin and just kind of shredded it with my fingers, threw it in a Ziploc in the fridge. And then I'll just nuke it, add some barbecue sauce, stuff it in my baked avocado and top it with diced avocado. And you guys, I'm telling you, it is the best thing ever. My mom thinks I'm nuts, but
wait, you stuff so it in good. Your baked potato.
In my baked sweet potato. Yes.
Yes. Okay. You said baked avocado. And then I was like, wait, you bake your avocados? But then I was like, no, I don't think she meant to say that.
Yeah. Got it. Sorry. Okay. My baked sweet potato, my barbecue chicken goes in there, and then I top it with the avocado. Just like, yeah, just diced
avocado. Sounds delicious. I forgot to mention that. We do so good. Baked potatoes at our house with beans. Sometimes I'll even put egg on top of their baked potato. And I know that sounds so weird, but it is delicious. And salsa.
They
typically
good.
Don't eat the salsa. I just put a very, very minimal amount, but Paige is starting to love salsa. And I'm trying to slowly ease her into the spicier salsa. Currently, it's mild. But one day, because we do buy the seasoned black beans, and she loves them. There's also a cumin black beans that they both love a lot, rather than just getting the plain black beans. So.
I didn't know they made those.
Oh, they're so good. I can't think of the brand, but it's a well-known brand. Of course, also my Giant Eagle here in Columbus sells them as well, their own brand. But I think I'm pretty sure any grocery store that you go to that has black beans, if you just look in that section, you'll see the seasoned black beans. I mean, I'm pretty sure every single company that makes black beans also makes a seasoned variety. So yeah, check it out for sure. They're a big hit in our household.
Oh, I will.
Them too.
Those sound delicious. We love black beans. Meijer, which is a pretty big chain, right? They have frozen turkey meatballs and they're so good. So good. Throw them in a pan, pan pot, small pot with some jarred marinara. If you can find one without sugar, awesome. Kudos. And you just simmer that away for 25 minutes and I'll make some whole wheat pasta, steam some broccoli. Done. Tonight we had tacos or some type of a taco salad. And I do like those minute rices that you can just pop in the microwave for 90 seconds. Those are super convenient. And we had it with canned corn. I mean, nothing fancy. And I bought guacamole actually. So it was a super, super easy meal. And I used ground beef. Usually I'll make taco seasoning like in bulk and just add it as we go, because then I can control the sodium a little bit better. Tonight I was out of it, so I just used a packet. But when I make the taco seasoning, I'll make like a full mason jar full, because we eat tacos that much.
That's a great idea.
And then it ends up being way cheaper than buying it. Build your own tostadas. So you could either use like a refried bean on your tostada. And this is a great way to involve kids in the kitchen too, because they can they can throw their own ingredients on there, or use like an avocado base. And then they could add on their like black beans, diced up like bell pepper, onion if they'll eat it, some type of a protein. Like we love, my kids love shrimp. So we'll do shrimp a lot.
It could be chicken.
Barbecue chicken quesadilla is awesome. We do that a lot. Any type of a quesadilla, trying to get in a meat of some kind. And then I'll usually serve it with avocado. That's like my go-to because my kids love it. Yes, and if you're vegetarian, doing like a vegetarian crumble or just beans and cheese in your quesadilla.
Yeah. Or tempeh. I love tempeh as a meat substitute.
That's a good idea. I don't even know that I've seen tempeh in the grocery stores around here, but I feel like
it's underutilized. I feel like everyone likes tofu better, and I don't understand why. I really do not. I feel like tempeh has more of the meaty texture, and maybe that's why vegetarians prefer tofu. But I don't know. I just think tempeh tastes so much better, and the texture is so much better.
Mm. My kids really like tofu too, and Mark will eat it. Now I want some tempeh.
Mm. Yeah, doesn't that sound good?
Do you guys ever make your own pesto?
No, we don't.
No. Mark is like a master gardener, at least when it comes to pesto, and he will grow bushels of basil. Bushels.
Really?
Yeah. And he'll come in like a grocery bag full, like stuffed. And he's like, here you go. Multiple times every summer. So I'm like, okay, more pesto. So our freezer is always stocked with pesto, because all I have to add is like olive oil, nuts of some kind. I got too cheap to even use pine nuts. I'm like, this is way too much freaking pesto.
They're so expensive.
Expensive. I'm like, all right, it's going to be walnut or pistachio or something.
I actually did use a walnut once. So it's funny that you said that he's a master gardener, because Nick also absolutely loves gardening. And since we moved in this house, he hasn't been gardening as much, because we don't actually have a full garden. So last year he tried to find a space and it was somewhat successful. But he did actually grow a bunch of basil 1 year at our old house, the one that you've been at.
Yeah.
And we made a ton of pesto. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm remembering it. And we actually used walnuts.
Okay. I'm remembering, I don't know, a little bit off topic, but do you remember when you guys grew butternut squash and it like took over your yard?
Do I ever? Yes.
That was so funny.
It was like a monster. I mean, it was everywhere. I mean, it dug its own like hole and burrow into our ground and then back up again. I mean, it reminded me of that movie with the giant, I can't think of anything today.
Was it called the giant the vine?
No, this is an old movie with oh my gosh. Again, I am drawing a blank on literally everything tonight. It's going to drive me nuts that I cannot think of that. And I'm sure our listeners.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Stranger Things too. Isn't there like a vibe in Stranger Things?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes. That's not what I'm thinking of, but yes, it is like that. What is the guy in Ghostbusters? The really small, like puny little guy that is famous. And I can't think of his name either because I can't think of anything at the moment.
I don't know. Anyway. Add that to the list of movies I haven't
seen.
Little
House of Horrors. Oh, right. You never seen that?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an old movie and it's a musical and I haven't seen it in years, but that's what it reminded me of. It was insane. But yes, he did grow butternut squash.
Oh my gosh. Tell me more about this spinach and gruyere stuffed tilapia.
So yeah, So even though I do not cook necessarily during the week, I do try to find at least two recipes on the weekends to make and keep as, you know, we enjoy on the weekends and mainly for lunch, because typically we eat out at night, not all weekends and not every night, but we'll eat out at least once or twice a weekend and then eat these for lunch, and then I'll have them as leftovers. So something that I really like to make, especially when people come over, because it's somewhat gourmet but it's so easy, is this spinach and Gruyere stuffed tilapia, but I always use cod. And all you do is you cook spinach and then you add Gruyere cheese. You mix it together with a couple other ingredients. You slather it on a nice fresh piece of cod. You roll it and you bake it. And it is lovely. I put the link, obviously the recipe in our show notes. I probably made it 5 times.
Does the cod roll well or does it kind of start to break a little bit?
So it really depends. You need to make sure when you go to the grocery store and when you're talking to the person who's cutting your fish, make sure to get, I think it's the long, it's not the loin, but it's the longest piece of the fish. And maybe it is the loin, but you need to kind of look at it and tell them which part you want. And they'll get annoyed with you because you can't really do that, but I always do. Like, I want that part of the fish and they'll cut it for me. It depends on... It typically rolls very well, but I had to get a nice long piece. And sometimes I'll kind of just have to roll it halfway and then it kind of unfolds a little bit in the oven. But honestly, it's still delicious. It doesn't even really matter. It might not look as good, but it's still fantastic.
Yum.
One of my other things that I make often is spaghetti and meatballs. So I made meatballs in the slow cooker yesterday. And again, I always triple my recipes. So I can save some in the freezer. We have a big, and I always recommend investing in a giant freezer or a second refrigerator to put in your garage or your basement. So you can put leftovers, or if you're at the grocery store and something's on sale, you can buy lots of it, like your pineapples. Yeah. So we do have an extra freezer in our basement. So I always put leftovers in there. So something I love to make other than spaghetti and meatballs is a one pot cheesy bake. One of my favorite recipes. I probably make it once or twice a month. It's just pasta, ground beef, cheese, spinach, and marinara sauce. So good. I will also, one of my favorite simple recipes. It does not get any more simple than this. It's just 2 or 3 pounds of chicken breast in a slow cooker with a jar of barbecue sauce. And you put it on low for about 6 hours and it's shredded chicken. And I typically serve it on whole wheat buns, and I'll go out and I'll buy some broccoli slaw. And what I mean by that is just the bags of broccoli slaw without anything in it. And you just put it on top. If you want to add some slaw dressing to it to make it a little bit wet, that's fine. But I typically just do it dry on top of that, shredded chicken on a whole wheat bun. Delicious. And my kids generally like that. I know Nick does.
That sounds really good. You could do the same thing with salsa too. Instead of the barbecue sauce, just do salsa.
Yes.
Lots of options.
Of course, I agree. And in salsa, I can't eat salsa because of FODMAPs, because of the onion. I know. And I love salsa. And I do eat it sometimes, but I can't eat it if it's like if a chicken has been slow cooked in salsa for 6 hours, it would just ruin me. I can have a couple scoops here and there. It's totally fine. I can't have it like embedded into my chicken breast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know it's unfortunate. I also put a few other recipes. So I have a really favorite flank steak recipe from the slow cooker that I put in there, as well as, a new favorite recipe that I use my pressure cooker for, an Alfredo, simple Alfredo recipe. Also a quinoa Mexican dinner recipe. And lastly, I wanted to mention an easy dinner. And this is something my coworker told me about. We love making pizza in this house because it's so easy and relatively cheap and you can make it healthy. She mentioned that in her house, they like to make taco pizza. So they take refried beans and they spread it on the pizza crust and then top it with cheese and olives and taco meat. Maybe add some spinach if you want to make it a little bit healthier, or broccoli, whatever you want to do. And my kids love it. So taco pizza was a huge hit. I've only made it a few times, but every time I make it, and of course, like you said, that's something that they can help with because they can spread the refried beans and put the cheese on top.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it is really good. And again, Nick loves that too. So when I can make everyone happy, that's a good thing. And that's not always the case. Usually, and I will say, I know you guys are better at this, but I would say 50% of the time our kids are eating something different than us. And that's typically because I'll take the leftover and Nick will just do something totally different with it. And then I'll do something totally different with it than what the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have spaghetti leftover from last night and meatballs. I served them spaghetti and meatballs. I had just a couple meatballs with some sauteed spinach because I try not to do too many carbs at night. And then Nick had meatball subs. He ate like 3 meatball subs with blue cheese melted on top and ranch. So, you know, we each had something different, but it was also the same.
Yeah.
So we typically eat similar foods, but different variations of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we roll in this household.
Yeah. That sometimes happens to us as well. So it does happen for sure.
I think it's inevitable. It's, yeah. So any other, obviously we're going to put all these recipes in our show notes. Is there anything else you want to share before we go on to snacks?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, check out both of our blogs, candidrd.com and preventionrd.com for way more recipes. So
I know that kind of cookbooks are kind of going out of style in a way, and you can pretty much get everything online. But I really love cookbooks. And I know that you have a couple cookbooks. I do have your one that I can't think of the name of. It's green and it has beautiful photos in it. I'm sure they all do. What is it called? It was your first one, and it has that really good halibut recipe in it with the title on top.
So long. It's like Prevention RD's Everyday Healthy Cooking, Tasty and Light. I don't even know.
Yes.
The publisher wanted approximately 75 words as the title, so it's something like that.
Well, it's really good, and I make that halibut recipe in spring all the time. So I have that one. I love cookbooks, and I also have your slow cooker one, the heart healthy one. And I know I gave that away on my blog, and to actually, no joke, because not many people read my blog. Sorry, but the person who won it was actually my husband's cousin, and she says I reached out to her a few weeks ago or a few months ago actually, and asked her how it was, and she said she loves it. She uses it all the time. She's got 3 kids and she just loves that slow cooker book. So
I'm flattered. Thank you.
A plug for that. Yes. Aww. And I mean, the slow cooker is great. So whenever I can find some good slow cooker recipes, I am all about it. So let's move on to snacks. And I know we've kind of already hit on this with breakfast, but we're kind of running low on time. So we'll kind of go through these quickly, but I think that snacks are an important thing to mention when it comes to healthier, kind of on the go and healthier quick meal ideas. I think snacks play a big role. So some of my favorite snacks for myself and for my kids, and I'm not a huge pouch fan. I think we've had this conversation before. And I think, am I wrong that you said that your kids like the pouches?
I mean, we certainly used to do them a lot more. I'll keep them in the diaper bag for sure for like those desperate times, and they'll still suck them down. But on the whole, we've really kind of moved away from them.
Right. And they're more for younger kids, but there are just some kids who still eat them all the time. And they're fine. I just don't really understand them.
They're so crazy expensive though. At the end of the day, like they're so expensive. It's ridiculous.
And they're simple and portable. I get it. So one of the pouches that I do like is the Mama Chia, because it has these, it's basically like chia pudding in a pouch, which sounds kind of gross, but my kids will eat them and pretty much suck them down fast. And I think that they're somewhat healthy. They've got the chia. They've got some fruit in them as well. So there's something worth looking at. Mama Chia pouches. String cheese. I love juicy juice. When I am going to give my kids juice, I will always give them 100% juice. Cameron has never had juice, but Paige has, because she's in preschool. And sometimes we have to bring snacks. And that's what I bring. Grapes, bananas, peanut butter. What is peanut butter cups and graham crackers? Peanut butter cups and graham crackers is what I wrote down. I'm not really sure what I mean by that.
You're so
I'll
funny.
Get back to that.
But it's messy. You wrote that.
I think what I mean by that is I just put peanut butter like on graham crackers. I don't think I meant to write peanut butter cups. I probably had peanut butter cups on my mind. Peanut butter on graham crackers. Sometimes I'll put like chocolate chips on top. I also like the Clif Bar Z bars. So it's like a mini size Clif Bar, but a little bit healthier, and they're smaller because Clif Bars really aren't that healthy. I also like the Aldi protein bars called Elevation. They're like Lara bars, but much cheaper. Kind bars. For me, I love the Nugo Slim bars. Greek yogurt, colorful carrots, colorful tomatoes. My kids love like the different colors of tomatoes, yellow, orange, red. I'm also a huge fan of the it's Greek yogurt bars called Cleo bars. I put a link in the show notes. That are covered in chocolate. They're hard to find. I have to order them online, but they are so good. And then lastly, I do have some easy on-the-go oat bars that I make sometimes, and I'll put a link to in the show notes.
Oh, yum.
What about you?
I want all of the above.
Yeah.
I'll buzz through
this. Making me hungry.
Nut Thin crackers. Basically a cracker, but they have more of a nut base versus like a flour base. Rice cakes. I know that sounds crazy, but my kids absolutely love them. I think you had this earlier, maybe for breakfast you listed it, but we call it peanut butter dip, but it's peanut butter, like one part peanut butter to two parts, maybe even three parts yogurt. And I'll usually use like a vanilla, like the Chobani hint of. Spoiler alert. And okay. I'll serve that with, my kids love to eat it with a spoon, but I'll serve it with usually apple slices. Sometimes they love yogurt parfaits. Like I'll buy bulk yogurt and then I'll have, you know, fruit chopped up and they can add fruit and a little bit of granola. In a pinch, McDonald's, they have dollar parfaits. They're not as healthy as the ones at home, of course, but in a pinch, that's a good option. Cheese and crackers, all fruit leathers. You know, I don't know even what those are called. I call them fruit leathers, but it's basically just like processed fruit into a leather. I don't know how to describe it.
Air-popped popcorn. Different brands of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aldi even has them. Air-popped popcorn, I have a... What is that thing called?
An air popper?
Oh, it's called a whirly pop, actually.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, same difference. And then some type of a nut or trail mix, something like that. So
okay.
Nothing fancy.
Oh, yeah. Air pop popcorn. My kids love that as well.
But my kids, a lot of the stuff you had are same for us, like just fruit, Lara bars they like. I want to check out some of those other bars and the Mama Chia. I have not heard of that. So
give it a whirl.
I learned something new every podcast, Gina. I'm learning.
I know. It's so great. I agree. I'm going to have to try. First of all, it was not me that wrote the peanut butter dip and apple with the yogurt. I have done that before, but I've completely forgotten about that. And I wonder if my kids will eat that and I'm going to try it out. I bet they will.
I have some in my fridge right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are some of your tips and tricks for us?
Tips and tricks. So we're going to end with tips and tricks and then the five things that we always keep on hand in our kitchen without fail. So my tips and tricks would be don't let things go to waste. So obviously food waste in our country is a big problem, but it doesn't have to happen. Not to say that we don't waste any food because that would be a lie, but I try my darndest to make sure before I throw something away that I can't do something else with it. For example, like you said, if all else fails, freeze it. There are certain things that need to be cooked first before freezing. You know, whenever I have spinach left over, I always just throw it in the pan and cook it, because if you take, you know, a 3 handfuls of spinach and throw it into a pan and cook it, it literally morphs into like a 2 tablespoon serving. You can eat that in one bite. So you might as well just cook it. So if all else fails, freeze it or find some recipe to use it in. Go to all recipes, type in your ingredients, find a recipe. Also, like I said before, always double or triple your recipes, because if you're taking all that time to make something, why not make more? Again, you can freeze it or serve it as leftovers later. And then my last tip would be to invest, like I said, in another freezer or another fridge. If you can, you can find another freezer for $200. So you can throw all your leftovers or anything extra that you find at the store in that freezer and you're good to go. All right. Yep. What about you?
I think my biggest one is plan your week. So blogging keeps me very honest with this, because I post my weekly menu usually Sunday. But I write it down, i.e. blog it. And then I make a grocery list based on what I'm going to make for the week. And so lunch and breakfast are kind of my staples. And then whatever for dinner, I add to it. And I use the grocery list. I don't go rogue. As soon as I hop in the door of the store, I buy off the list.
That's key.
Yeah, totally. And involve your spouse and kids in the process. So I'll even ask them if there's anything in particular they want for dinner. And, you know, usually try and appease Mark in some way too. Prepare when you have time. So don't wait until dinner time to start. If you know you have some prep, try and do it on the weekends, the evenings, even in the morning. I've been known at lunchtime, if I can run home and throw something in the crock pot. You know, I love those crock pot recipes that's like cook for 4 hours. Like that does me no good. So I'll run home at lunch and throw that in. And I think it's just work smart. But planning, I think, is probably number one.
Yeah. I need to get better at planning my week. I was in a groove for a while, but I've gotten out of it. So thanks for the reminder. Okay. top five things you always have on hand in the kitchen, whether it's in your fridge, in your freezer, or in your pantry. Here are mine. Eggs, always. Frozen vegetables, always, because I'll just rip that open and either throw it on a pan and roast it or put it in the, I buy the ones that you can put in the microwave and steam. And rarely do I steam vegetables, but if I'm in a real pinch, I'll just throw it in the microwave and steam it. Some type of pasta, whether it's the twirly one that Paige loves, just spaghetti or penne, or those are typically what it is, bow tie. Sometimes they like that as well. Marinara sauce and canned beans. Honorable mentions include whole grain tortillas or bread, cheese slices for grilled cheese, which I typically add some spinach to, avocado and peanut butter.
Yeah. I love your honorable mentions. You were not able to limit it to five, were you?
I could.
So I did the same thing. So we always have unsweetened almond milk on because that's a great way for cutting calories and carbs. It's something I use it in smoothies. Anytime a baked good that calls for milk, I just swap that in on overnight oats, oatmeal. Yeah, use it all the time. Old fashioned oats, use them all the time. Apples, that's like a staple in our house because apples stay good forever in the fridge. And I feel like I can throw them in stuff that's sweet, even savory snacks. They're perfect. Plain Greek yogurt, always on hand. And then nuts in bulk. So it may be, usually there's a bazillion nuts of any kind. But yeah, buy them when they're on sale or you can buy them in bulk. And your honorable mentions, some of the same eggs, avocado, and then canned pumpkin. Love canned pumpkin.
Yes. Yes. My kids love canned pumpkin too. I think that's a great one. And that's something that you can, I always use it in baking in place of oil.
Yep.
Just like you do with applesauce. I always use canned pumpkin instead. So okay, we're going to skip our mom wins and favorite new products because the ones we have written down, we've already talked about. Mine was the Aldi Elevation Bars, the ones that are like Lara Bars, and yours was the Chobani Hint of yogurt, or Hint, I think it's the Chobani Hint with 9 grams of sugar, which is also delicious. I mean, I love it. And it, the texture is so perfect. And we're going to move on to our five-star review. So we said on our last podcast that we're going to start reading our five-star reviews on air. So why don't you take, you know this person. I don't know this person. Okay.
I do. And I didn't even pay her to write this. Just kidding.
Don't lie.
No, Jackie's awesome. And she is actually, she lives in Oak Park, which is where I'm from. And this is so super random. You know, St. Joe, Michigan is a pretty small town and she has some friends here. And so she is often visiting in the summertime. She'll be up here anyway. Instagram, we're buds. And so it's just funny because I know exactly when she's in St. Joe and we actually ran into each other. I think it was last summer, of course, at a brewery because where else do we go? So this is what Jackie had to say about our podcast. She said, these two ladies dish up reality with a side of fun. I love listening to their down-to-earth advice and real-life relatable stories. They don't sugarcoat or curate an unrealistic experience. They tell it like it is, like sitting down to chat with my friends. So Jackie, you're our friend and thanks for listening and thanks for the five-star review, and we'd love to read yours on the next show.
Yes. Nice. Okay. So the next show, and I don't have the show notes pulled up. I actually, what is our next episode on, Nicole? I feel like it's yours, right?
It is. It is a baby led weaning.
Yes, that's what it is. It's baby led weaning.
It is.
Exactly. So yeah, that's going to be in a couple of weeks. So our plan is to post for every couple of weeks from now, from here on out. So you should see us on Mondays, every other Monday, that is. So our next one will be on baby-led weaning, which is going to be an exciting topic that we both have a lot to say about. And until then, follow us on Instagram at Dietitian's Dish Podcast or Facebook at Dietitian's Dish Podcast as well. And then you can reach out to us via email, which is
dietitiansdishpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. I mean, how hard is that to remember? It's all Dietitian's Dish Podcast. It's just the same thing over and over again. And I can't even remember it. This is how clearly podcasting at 9:30 p.m. is not for me because my brain is slowly shrinking.
And you're missing The Bachelorette. So,
and I think really that's what's in the back of my mind. Yes, I am missing The Bachelor right now. And I'm just like ready to push stop on this recording. So, all right, we'll see everyone.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, we'll see everyone in a couple of weeks.
Thank you for listening for the podcast.